Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 198 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I, and hopefully you guys, have survived Formula One's autumn break in 2024. And finally, racing is returning this weekend in Texas. Before we get into that though, of course, we've got a few little bits and pieces to recap over the summer break. And if you missed out on last week's podcast where Jamie and I delved deep under the depths of the Formula One iceberg, go back, check that one out. It was a rather interesting one as well there. But Jamie, we've made it. How are we feeling? So
we have
6 races to go.
Yeah, I am worried for the World Championship, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I don't know. Surely they won't do this next year. This random second summer break, like 4 races after the first summer break, is mad. I bet the viewing figures are going to be on the floor at this point. I guess the season's good, so it might not be, but it can't have helped. Like, I don't know why it was planned like this at all, but we've made it and we're back in COTA this week, and it's a triple header followed by 2 Sundays off, so 3 weeks, and then another triple header.
I must admit, for a 24-race season, you'd think they would have spread things out a little bit more sensibly than they had. It's always the one I think about, of going from Vegas to Qatar.
Yeah.
And I know, obviously, you get that, technically, you get that extra day, because obviously Vegas is on Saturday, but that still feels brutal to me.
Yeah, especially with how intense the Qatar race was for everyone involved last year.
And coming off the back of weekend again.
Yeah, coming off the back of Vegas. Yeah, which is also quite a hot, intense race straight to Qatar.
Vegas was freezing
cold. Vegas was freezing, wasn't it? But in the day, it was quite warm. But obviously, it's
a
desert, isn't it? So
exactly.
Yeah. Don't know. I mean, but we're here in our houses just to watch, so that's all right.
Yeah, we haven't got... Well, actually, you say that. I've got to deal with time zones between now and the end of the season.
I'm
genuinely starting to get slightly worried that Abu Dhabi's going to be a title decider. And I'm going to have to stay up for it.
Because you'll be in Australia by then, won't you?
I will be, yeah. I'll be in Melbourne. So if anyone's in Melbourne, tell me what time Abu Dhabi's meant to be at the end of the year. Because I still can't entirely work it out.
Well, it's
1
o'clock
there,
UK, isn't it? So,
yeah, but
well, that'll be like...
We change an hour by then. And Australia goes, or New South Wales goes an hour the other way as well. So I think
it's 12 hours?
I think it's 11 hours.
Yeah, you'll be watching it at midnight at 1 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess this weekend, Jamie, is technically practice for that.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you're living in the UK, important times for this weekend. Sprint qualifying is at 10:30 on Friday night. The sprint race then is at 7 p.m. Saturday evening. Then the real qualifying is 11 till midnight.
11 o'clock. What is wrong
on
with that?
Saturday night. And then the race is 8 till 10. So that's not too bad. We've said this before, haven't we? We don't mind an evening Grand Prix few times a year. It's actually quite nice.
Yeah, I do. That's one of the cool things. Because, to be honest, I quite like any time for a Grand Prix. Because there's something nice about
just
all
like
the races
a Grand Prix.
As well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there is,
And you just get... I like variety as well. So the US race is always nice because, you know, Sunday evening... You get the super early ones like Japan and China and I guess Vegas now is in that group.
I was going to say, you say Sunday evenings, it's only COTA because Miami's mid-afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess Brazil is afternoon, like late afternoon as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
And Bahrain, I feel, is Bahrain 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock? I feel it's 4, isn't it?
Bahrain is slight, I think it's 3 now, I want to say.
Yeah, but it's good. I like the variety. And... yeah, I don't know if I'll be up for qualifying because I'll be very tired by then, but we will see.
I've already said, well, I've got a 10-hour race on Saturday, but that finishes at like... So I'm up at 8 a.m., so that finishes just before 7, I want to say.
You're not doing all 10 hours?
I'm not personally doing all 10 hours. I did a 6-hour race, not last weekend, the weekend before, solo. So I won't be doing 10 hours by myself.
No.
But yeah, it's kind of going, oh, do I stay up as well for qualifying? I guess I probably should. It gives me practice for Abu Dhabi. Bless you
as well,
exactly. Sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we're back. Race week. What's new? Well, Liam Lawson's new. We'll talk about him for a bit.
He kind of new.
Yeah, he's back. And we've also known about it for a while at this point. So I quite like... just how much it's a sliding doors moment in this kind of next few months of Formula One, because there's so many drivers who are like, you wouldn't say they're bad enough to lose their seats, but they're also just kind of here. And they're all kind of going and getting replaced with rookies.
Formula One needs to replace this mentality of drivers kind of just being there for the sake of being there. Which I think, again, there needs to be something changed around in regards to making it easier for rookies to get up to pace. Like, obviously, if a rookie's good enough, giving them more of a chance to get up to speed in the sport.
Mm.
I think it's the big issue still, isn't it?
I do think that how good Bearman and Colapinto have been this year has encouraged teams that the rookies are quite good.
Because
they are way more prepared now than they ever have been. Because they can step into a car with no practice and get points.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there needs to be a bit more work done. I mean, we've spoken about it so many times, haven't we, Jamie? But the big one is Formula 2 needs to be fixed next year.
Mm.
The idea that is kind of given, you know, that most of the teams now have come out going, it gives us nothing. We've got no idea who's good and who isn't this year in Formula 2. Like, it just feeds you no kind of information because of how odd... Well, it's not how odd,
how
it's
unequal
just the fact
the cars
that Mechachrome can't build an equal engine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, the likes of Behrman, who's, what, 14th in the championship or something like that?
Certainly, I think he's not quite that low anymore, but he's still way
And Antonelli out. And, like, I guess Colapinto as well were, like, lower top 10, weren't they, when they got their call-ups?
So, Antonelli is 6th, Behrman's 15th.
Wow. So he's had one sprint win, hasn't he? Or one of each sprint and feature. But yeah, he's had really unfortunate luck anyway.
He's had 2 sprint wins, I believe, up to this point.
He's had bad luck, and he's also had just not... as soon as he got the Ferrari gig in Saudi, he basically knew he was going to be on the grid next year, I'd imagine. So therefore has a lot less to lose.
Well, I think the thing is as well, it's all the little bits and pieces, like the way the F2 format works this year. But I'm looking at it now. Behrman has had a one weekend, which was Monza, where he scored points in both races.
That's insane.
Every other weekend, he's either only scored, say, in one or in quite a few. In five weekends this year, including Saudi, technically, he hasn't scored a single point.
Yeah.
But obviously he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care at all. Well, after Saudi, he's pretty much guaranteed a seat on the grid next year.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You can check out of actually trying.
Yeah, it's again another week where Jamie and I are going to rant about Formula 2 and all the trials and tribulations. But I mean, we've got obviously Behrman coming in. We've got Lawson back. We've got Doohan coming in. We've got Antonelli coming in.
Colapinto might be.
Colapinto, I'm not convinced he will, but obviously Colapinto currently in. You know, over the space of 6 months, a quarter of our grid has been replaced, which is pretty good going.
Yeah.
And obviously we've kind of had a few more moving around as well.
Yeah. I guess who are they replacing? I guess Behrman's a straight shot for Magnussen.
Yeah.
Who's dropping off the grid to Fantinelli? I guess Joe's dropping.
Joe will be getting dropped.
Sargent obviously
has already been dropped.
Who is actually else dropping?
Who's actually... Because you could argue... Yeah, who... Where is... Because obviously Magnussen's got... Hülkenberg's going...
To Sauber.
Joe's obviously being dropped. Magnussen's being dropped. Ricciardo's
there must be a third one.
Being
oh, Ricciardo
dropped.
For Lord. But who's doing effectively replacing? Because if Ocon's to Haas... I guess Magnussen, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But then who's Behrman technically replacing? Hülkenberg. But Hülkenberg's replacing Joe.
Yeah.
It's all very odd.
Yeah, it's hard to follow.
It is difficult to keep track. It's why we need a Formula 2 podcast, Jamie. I've always said.
Well, we'd just be like a broken record this year, wouldn't we?
But
I'm happy Lawson's back. I really like the guy. His racing icon is Lightning McQueen. So, you know, that's always good.
I can't believe. What's it? Did you see the article with Kimi Antonelli this week or last week?
No.
Never felt older in my life.
What did he say his hero was like Sebastian Vettel or something?
He said his hero, was Lewis Hamilton winning world titles with Mercedes.
What?
You kind of go, hang on a minute, he won a title with McLaren. That was bearable.
Well, Antonelli was 1 year old when Hamilton won his first title.
Oh, it's so mad. Has there ever been a time in Formula 1 where, like, a still effectively a child has replaced their hero in the
so,
sport?
ridiculous, isn't it?
It's so weird, isn't it? Although, yeah. I can't remember who it was. There was another one, yeah, that did say about Seb winning titles with Ferrari. Seb win titles with Ferrari. You went, yeah. That is so a lot. That shouldn't be your childhood. That should be your teenage years, at least.
Well, you know, Hamilton's first title at Mercedes was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so mad. It's kind of one of those things as well, talking about Lewis, where I kind of forgot, of course, he's only got 6 races left with Mercedes power. Because there was an article that came out, wasn't it, that he can't go to Ferrari for the post-season test. He's still contracted to Mercedes until the end of the year. Which is apparently because obviously they want to do a load of kind of, you know, farewell Lewis stuff between obviously Mercedes as a Formula One team and Mercedes as just a company in general.
And,
because he's always been under that umbrella.
If companies want to work with each other, they can. So it's a bit plebish to not let your driver do the post-race season for their new team. But teams do it in the past. I think when Sainz was going Renault to McLaren, I think Renault didn't let him.
Yeah. But Renault are like the most obtuse team in the world, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a shame. Like, Lewis has been with them since he was a fetus, as Jeremy Clarkson once said.
Well, 25 years he's been part of the Mercedes family.
Yeah. Yeah, which is crazy. And to see it coming to an end. But he's got his couple of wins. The Silverstone win. If that's his, like, I know it's not effectively his last one, but it pretty much is, wasn't it? And even if he wins another will remember his
Silverstone. He could win Cota. Yeah, he's won Belgium since then, remember, Jamie?
Yeah, I know, but yeah. It does that. No one really cares about it, do they?
I mean, yeah, Silverstone was the big one, obviously. That was poetry, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
9th win at home is insanity. If I had to put money on it right now, I don't think he'll win another one, but if you had to put money on it right now, though, Jamie, and I know we've asked each other this so many times, have Red Bull, do we think, been able to use this month break to kind of work out the car?
I really hope so. As
you might be the only person I know that really hopes so.
I just want Verstappen to win the championship.
Why?
Because I think he's doing better than Norris this season. And I prefer him.
Yeah, I suppose.
The month is hopefully going to be good. Obviously, Red Bull are kind of... all their key figures are leaving. I remembered looking at all the Audi stuff recently that Jonathan Wheatley's off to Audi as TP, isn't he? So, like, they've got no Newey, no Wheatley, no... who's the... not Pierre Vacher, the other guy who left.
That one other guy that's left Red Bull.
There's a key figure who left Red Bull for someone else fairly recently as well. And obviously the Horner situation is still going on, which can't be helpful.
It's not really going on anymore, is it?
Well, I guess it kind of got brushed under the carpet, didn't it? But I don't think it ever got resolved. So it's not great. But you know what? They took steps forward in Baku and Singapore in terms of understanding the car. So hopefully they've put their month to use. But also McLaren could have done the same. So we'll see.
Well, this is what we spoke about, wasn't it? Through the autumn break as well. Obviously, the fact that McLaren, it doesn't feel like a single upgrade this year that they've put on hasn't done exactly what they expected it to.
In the last 2 years,
Meanwhile, obviously, Red Bull on the other side of that have, kind of just wandered all over the place. Go on then, Jamie. We'll ask you again then. The 2024 Formula One World Champion will be...
This must be the fifth time I've answered this. I'm still going Verstappen. Obviously.
You're still saying Verstappen. Okay, I like it. What's the gap now? 52 points.
That's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points. It's more because obviously Lando did an interview, didn't he, last week? And obviously he was going, Max is saying, it's going to be such a great world title if he somehow wins it. He goes, I'd much rather be in his position with a 52-point lead.
You would. You would rather be in Max's position.
That's a huge amount of points.
But Max has only got to that position because he was driving incredibly in the first half of the season.
And he also had a dominant car throughout the first few races.
First few races, but honestly, only the first 4. Like, since
Miami.
He still
was able to build up a fair old lead by... What was the point going into Miami?
Going into Miami, Norris was almost as far back as he is now. Didn't you not see that crazy stat? Where, like, before Miami, it was like a 65-point gap.
61 points or something, yeah.
And then before the previous race, after Singapore, it was still... something like
that. So the gap currently is identical to the gap after Miami. After Shanghai even.
Which is mad considering since then McLaren's been the fastest car overall.
Oh, I wouldn't say so every weekend since then.
But on average, it has been. Like, the fact Max won Imola, Canada, and Spain, and Austria Sprint is crazy.
I think, I mean, you can't say the Red Bull wasn't the quickest car in Austria.
Well, the McLaren caught him and passed him. Well, tried to pass him in the race.
Yeah, but that's because he made errors. The team made errors.
Yeah, probably. And he should have won Belgium, to be fair, but engine pens, they got a bit arrogant with that.
They did.
Yeah, I don't know. I really hope...
I think people trying to claim that the Red Bull has been a distant fourth or fifth in terms of performance have been lying.
Well, yeah, but it shouldn't have a 52-point lead.
I think that, but you can make the argument, obviously, Lando's thrown away quite a few points as well.
Yeah, and McLaren have as a team too. Yeah. Yeah, shall we talk about Liam Lawson, since that's what got us onto this?
We'll go back to Liam Lawson.
He's got an engine pen, so he's going to be starting last. Which...
I did come in back to Formula 1 and immediately you've got an engine pen, man.
I mean, it kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Because nobody expects... As in, wherever you... Like, you can qualify well, and you can say, well, I didn't race well because I had an engine pen. And you can qualify terribly. It's like, well, I've got an engine pen anyway. So,
yeah.
I remember when Albon and Gasly swapped, they both started the next race in Belgium with a grid penalty, didn't they?
Yes.
Just to kind of take the pressure off. So it does make sense, but it's a shame. But he just started last in Zandvoort in his original debut, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, for Liam Lawson, though, as well, obviously, because all this talk still, isn't it, for a lot of people is, you know, will Ricciardo be back? Also, do you see Helmut Marko has come out saying basically Lawson and Yuki next year are going to be fighting for the Red Bull seat?
Yeah.
And you kind of go, well, there's no chance Ricciardo's coming back then, is there?
No.
You've just kind of tried to leave people with some hopium.
Yeah, exactly. And if Lawson does very well in the last six races, he could even be in it in 2025 in the Red Bull.
I'm not optimistic, but
I don't think that will happen.
Crazier things have happened.
If he's
Red
like
Bull
six,
can be known for some itchy feet.
Yeah, if he's 6-0 Tsunoda in quali and race, I don't see why not. But I don't see that happening either.
No.
Yeah, but that's good. I like Liam, so I'm glad he's back. Especially at one point, it didn't look like it, did it?
Yes. It's looked like that through most of his career, hasn't it? He's either like nailed on, or he's just not there at all for some reason.
Yeah.
It's very, very odd. Jamie, what apparently is big news, but also isn't big? This has got to be the most confusing news story of the week, isn't it? Toyota have announced an alliance with Haas, which should on paper be massive, but they're telling us it's not massive, and Haas are saying it's not massive. But every other media outlet is making out like it's massive. Apart from, I believe, there isn't even an article on Formula1.com about it.
No, there isn't. I've just had a look.
Because Toyota said that they don't want anyone to make a big deal out of it. So everybody else has gone, ooh, free views. So we're doing the same.
Yeah. And it's basically a title sponsorship, isn't it?
No.
Is it not even
it's
that?
Not.
No, it's technical partner.
Yeah.
And they're going to share expertise and knowledge as well as resources. But they're not being named Toyota. And they're not using...
Well,
they're going to carry on using Ferrari power units. There's
an opportunity down the line for Toyota to be a naming partner.
Yeah.
So it could be Haas Toyota Gazoo Racing F1 Team Ferrari American McCheeseburger.
The least
American team in the world, Haas.
It probably, yeah. Why are they even American? I mean, they're now building a car in three different continents, which is always clever. Yeah, it's a strange one because it's like, it reminds me a bit of Sauber Alfa Romeo, where people start calling them Alfa Romeo, they put a bit of paint on it, but realistically it's still Sauber.
But this does actually provide a little bit more to Toyota, doesn't it? Because like they've said, of course, it'll give their opportunities for their team, obviously back at base, to work kind of inside an F1 scenario as well. Like they've said already that, you know, within kind of the limits they're going to do kind of like all of Haas's test days now, which Haas have never really been able to afford to do. Mm. They're going to be able to run that, but for their, obviously, to give not only, obviously, the drivers an opportunity to test the car, but also all of the Toyota staff and personnel are going to be able to work in that environment, which is going to be good. I am quietly... Well, there's one reason, Jamie, whilst I'm quietly optimistic that this is going to be a good thing.
Is it Aya Komatsu?
No.
Ah.
Actually, wasn't where I was going. I think he's... I don't think if Gunther was in charge, they'd be doing this.
No.
I think Aya Komatsu has made this happen. I think this is going to work for one reason and one reason only.
What's that?
Because Hulkenberg's leaving the team at the end of the year. It might not happen next year, but in the future they're going to rocket up the order purely because Hulkenberg's leaving.
It's not a great time to be moving to Sauber, I'll say that. away from Haas.
You tried to hype this up so much at the start of the year.
I think 2025 is going to be awful, but 26 could be better. But we'll see.
Could be. I mean, that's gone from will be better to could be better.
It can't be much worse if it's like this, can it?
No.
Yeah,
but I mean,
we'll see.
Audi have come out kind of saying things aren't looking great. Oh, Mattia Binotto has, hasn't he?
Yeah, Mattia Binotto. Has he actually started working for them? I guess he has, hasn't he?
Technically.
So he has said that it's not only climbing a big mountain, it's like climbing Everest. It will take several years. Which is great for a driver who's 36 going to a team.
And doesn't have several years.
And as it says, Binotto says, our objective is to be, by the end of the decade, to be able to fight for the championships. So we're talking 2029 now. It's like, great.
So Hulkenberg would be 41.
It's not going to happen, is it?
It might happen, but Hulkenberg won't be there.
I'll take the Michael Schumacher Mercedes role of Hulkenberg building up the team and then somebody else taking all the glory.
You're just going to claim, are you? Fair enough.
Yeah. If he gets a podium, I don't care. That's the end game now.
I genuinely would actually love to see him get a podium for that team.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? Everyone loves him now. He's gone from such a neutral figure to somebody that not many people liked, and now everyone loves him. It's great.
He's a bit of a cult icon now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Purely because he just keeps bumping up this record of most races without a podium. Jamie, the bigger thing, though, going back to Toyota quickly, is that I'm hoping this means one other thing, and that is the return of Japan's best racetrack.
Suzuka's already on the calendar.
Don't give me Suzuka.
You mean Fuji?
Fuji back on the calendar, I think, would be awesome.
It would be cool.
Suzuka, you've got to admit, over the last few years, yes, it's a special venue. Yes, it's high risk, high reward. It does not deliver good Formula One races.
It doesn't, because it's not designed to, in a way. Like, you've got...
And the big issue is 130R, and kind of weirdly, isn't
it's
it? Because they
its
won't put
touch.
DRS. Well, no, I didn't mean that. They won't put DRS, obviously, down that straight, which means no one can get close enough to use DRS. It must be, excluding Monaco, I would assume, the track with the shortest DRS zone on the entire calendar.
Yeah, it probably is. Because it's just the front straight, isn't it? And that's quite a short straight anyway. And it's also,
downhill.
Like, the one big braking zone is into the last chicane. And that is, like, obviously no DRS up to that point, so it's quite hard for cars to get near each other. I don't want to see Suzuka drop. I could see it on a rotation. That'd be quite fun.
Yeah, well, this is what I say. I can see him kind of doing a Hockenheim-Nürburgring. Worryingly, we've already discussed this before, haven't we? I think back when Formula 1 was at Suzuka. I still would even potentially be up for that. If they want to try and target the Asian market a bit more, of course, there's all these talks that we might be going back to South Korea. I genuinely think you could get the numbers and the interest for both Suzuka and Fuji on back-to-back weekends in Japan.
But I don't think they will, because, like, spots on the calendar are incredibly well fought over in terms of, like, the amount of money countries will pay to get their name on the calendar.
But with Toyota and Honda now, they're both going to compete for it.
I guess.
Like, you'd expect. Like, you could definitely make that event profitable.
I guess, yeah.
And if you're already out in Japan anyway, you may as well try and get both of them on.
I don't think they will, but it'd be a cool idea.
No, nor do I, but it will be quite cool.
Do you think the Toyota thing is another option for Yuki Tsunoda, being Japanese?
No.
Do you think it's Honda through and through Aston Martin?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think there's quite the divide in Japan.
Yeah, between
this.
Honda and Toyota, isn't there?
You kind of think as well, even when you like Super Formula, for example, is Honda versus Toyota.
Mm.
It's quite a big thing over there, kind of between these two manufacturers. It does kind of mean in other areas they won't step on each other's toes, but it does kind of, you know, I would think Toyota would have to offer Yuki an unholy amount of money to get him to move. And to be honest, I don't think it'd be worth it for Yuki still. It's all set up, Jamie, for Rotomo Miata.
But Rio Miata's not that good.
Eh? He's not bad.
He's not terrible, but he's not, like, going to pull up any trees.
Well, he's 19th so far in F2.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's basically had the identical campaign to Ollie Bearman, and he's got a Haas seat next year.
Yeah, but
so,
Bearman's shown
Rotomo
pace on occasion. Miata hasn't really.
He has. He won Japanese junior formula, didn't
he? In F2.
Yeah, but let's have a look. Where did he... What did he win? Was it Super Formula Junior or something? To be fair, admittedly, he's older than us in Formula. I had forgot that.
Flipping heck. He's finished.
He's 25, yeah. You know, all the kind of things like that they do. So he won both Super GT and Super Formula last year.
Yeah. So, but he's 19th. He's behind Amaury Cordial.
Amaury Cordial. I mean, he's won Japanese Formula 4. He's nearly won Japanese Formula 3. He won Super Formula Lights. He's
won Super the lottery. Formula.
I tell you what, if he's in Formula 2 next year, which I don't know as of right now whether he is or not, give his second year, he seems to be... He's a bit like Mick Schumacher, which admittedly not a great sign for Formula 1. But he is... Second year, he's very, very good.
Okay. So you're putting Miata as F2 champion next year, are you?
2025, Rotomo Miata, I'm calling it now, F2 champion.
Not
locked in. Signed on. Done.
Wow, there we have it.
What else have we got to do, Jamie?
You've got to do your quiz.
We've got predictions. Oh, you've got to do your quiz.
Because we are at... In the United States, are we not?
We are this week. Well, we're not, but yeah.
We're not, but you know, F1 is. Did you know, fun fact, the United States has had the most independent circuits to host a Grand Prix for Formula 1?
I did know that.
You have a minute. That's my calculator. Oh, no. Where's my timer? to name all of them. Go.
Oh, no. So, Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Kota, Miami, Las Vegas. Las Vegas twice, technically. Caesar's Palace.
Yep.
Watkins Glen. Sebring.
Yep.
I don't think Road America ever has.
No.
You've got, like, Phoenix hosting one, didn't they? Long Beach.
Yep.
How many are there?
You've got three more. Oh, I've just sent them. Don't look at Discord.
You idiot.
Don't look.
I'm trying to think.
You're going to be like, I know what you're going to do.
No, I'm trying to think. It's okay. I'm pretty certain Riverside didn't it?
Because
that was always the NASCAR season opener and finale.
10 seconds.
Obviously said Long Beach.
Three.
I'm gonna miss
two,
it. Like a
one.
The thing is, I genuinely didn't even see the list.
Oh, you didn't see them?
I thought you saw them. So quickly, I didn't even have a chance to process them.
I thought you saw them, and you're gonna like knock out the last three in once.
No, I could see them now. To be fair.
Yeah. So but you got no, all
I
of them.
Got Detroit.
Apart from Detroit and Dallas.
Which were both 80s, 1 year only, weren't they? Or 2 years only.
I think Dallas was that... No, it was Caesar Palace when Mansell collapsed, wasn't it? Was it Dallas?
Yeah. No, it might have been Dallas, actually. You might be right. Yeah, the ridiculous 1980s Grand Prix.
Like Keke Rosberg took the 360 and just carried on.
No, that was Long Beach.
Oh, that was Long Beach, yeah.
Yeah, that was Long Beach, I'm pretty certain. The greatest conspiracy in Formula 1.
Yes, but you did well.
I'll take that. Exactly. My knowledge of American motorsport is slowly but surely expanding. Although I still don't quite get like the kart USAC split and everything like that particularly well.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yep.
Lawson back. Is Bottas going to be 23rd in the 20 driver championship?
I really hope so. It'd be very funny.
Joe's going to be 21st, to be fair.
Yeah, it's true. But do you remember back in 2010 where somebody, it must have been like Christian Klien or Yamamoto, was like 28th?
I
guess it was a 24-man championship, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely wild. I mean, who's getting that second Sauber seat next year, Jamie? We do our predictions.
They're taking a sweet time, aren't they, deciding?
They really are. Well, they don't have to worry, do they? They've got no one to compete against.
I guess, yeah. So it looks
apparently Mick Schumacher's back in the fray.
Yeah,
I saw that.
I saw that it's gone from a shootout between Bottas and... I guess at one point it was Bottas versus Bortoletto, wasn't it? But now you've got Colapinto in there.
And Colapinto and Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the shortlist as well, Jamie. Fun fact.
You're in the shortlist?
Yeah, because I said I could beat Niels Kuhlen.
Is that because you're 5'8"? Is that why you made the shortlist?
I'm not 5'8". Hang on a minute. You're 5'8", are you? Not me.
I am, but we can both be short together.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that it will be Valtteri Bottas, but that's really boring.
Apparently Bottas was meant to be confirmed a few weeks ago, and then Sauber have dug their heels in.
I did see that Mick Schumacher is a last minute in the frame entry, just because German, and if they can't be good, they might as well be German.
is that a life motto? Is it, if you can't be good, be German?
Well, you know, if they're not going to sell cars by being competitive, they might as well sell cars by having good PR.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I think it'll be Bottas. I really hope it isn't Mick Schumacher. I don't mind.
I'm going to say left field. I think. I'm going to be fairly boring. I think Bortoleto is going to take it.
Really? I think Bortoleto is the left field.
If he wins Formula 2, I think you can't really. I mean, you can't do an Oscar Piastri again where you ignore F3 and F2 champion.
Well, they did.
Did they?
He was on the sideline for a year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite normal for an F2 champion to sit on the sidelines for a year now, but.
But not one that wins F3 and F2 back to back as rookies.
I guess, because Russell did that, and Leclerc, so.
Russell, Leclerc, and obviously Piastri, the only ones that have done that. Yeah. Technically F3 and F2. I mean, Rosberg before that did it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and he got on the grid straight away.
He did, exactly. It's only Piastri that got screwed over, and he's easily the best of that list.
Really?
He's better than Rosberg, and probably Russell.
Already? Rosberg's a world champion. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, but he's a fake world champion, isn't he? He's not really a world champion, James.
Well, Piastri's not even a fake one.
No, but he will be. He'll be a real one soon, I know it. Predictions, Jamie. What are the scores on the doors? It's been a while, but there's a lot of points up for grabs. Still.
There are. You are 5 points ahead of me, so it's 61 to 66.
Okay, that's an odd way of doing it, but okay.
Yes, so you're ahead of me, so I get to go first.
So how many points are still available? We've got, 54 points still up for grabs by the end of the year?
Plus sprints,
three weekends are 10, 3 weekends are 8, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
We do sprint, so for sprint weekends, we do sprint winner, pole, and the top three. We don't do sprint pole or anything.
We don't do sprint pole. Load of rubbish.
Okay.
I'm going to go first. I will say... Do you be boring or do you just be normal?
What is normal in 2024?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Normal might be my boring.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm going to say... Sprint's before quali now, isn't it?
Yep.
So I go sprint winner, Oscar Piastri.
Really?
I'll go
okay.
Pole position, Lando Norris.
Okay.
Race winner. I'm going to go against what I've been saying the whole time. Lando Norris from Max Verstappen.
Oh, okay.
From Oscar Piastri.
Interesting.
That is very boring. Is that not exactly what happened in a few races ago in Singapore?
Literally the last race in Singapore.
Was Piastri third in that? Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
Well.
Oh, that's very, very boring, to be fair. Which is annoying, because I was kind of trying to think what's Kota similar to, and I was like, people forget how bumpy Kota is, although I think it might have been resurfaced this year.
It's a fun track. It's always one of the good watches.
Yeah, it is a good track. I'm going to say Lando Norris sprint win. I mean, I could just say the same as you to the end of the year now.
You're not going to, though. That'd be well boring.
No, I'm not going to. Lando Norris sprint win. Leclerc pole. I'm going to say... I wanted to say Lando Norris win, but I'm not going to because you have. So I'm going to say Leclerc win.
My word. Turning a pole into a win.
Exactly. Unheard of. Lando P2. And I'm going to say Hamilton P3. I'm going to lose so many points here.
Yeah, like, why have you put Hamilton on the podium? I said that in Silverstone,
because he loves Kota.
He does, to be fair. But he's a bit of a fraud as well.
How is he a bit of a fraud? He should have won last year.
Should he? He got disqualified. He should have stopped cheating.
Well,
Bottas beat him. Raikkonen beat him.
Yeah, Bottas beat him once the title was wrapped up, wasn't it? So we all know Hamilton just gives up after the title. Oh, no, he did drag the title.
It kept it alive.
He did, yeah.
And Raikkonen Max beat him from 18th on the grid in 2019 as well.
Did he? What happened to Lewis in that race?
He was just third. He got a bit of a bad strategy, but then just didn't overtake this.
Perhaps he was one of those guys that is adamant when he had a cold prior to COVID, it was actually COVID.
Yeah. Potentially. I've got a mate like that, and I called him a mug, and he was like...
No. Oh, he's anyone. If you're listening to this podcast and you claim you had COVID before 2020, you're a fraud. Unless you're the guy in Wuhan that bat, you're a fraud.
It's called flu season. It wasn't COVID in 2019 exactly. In October.
Yeah, people don't... Yeah, people.
That's 5 years ago now. People, crazy.
Jamie. Yeah, well, alarming, isn't it? Have you got anything else to add, though, Jamie? I think we've wrapped up everything. Have you put the predictions in the chat?
I've got it typed. I'll send them. There you go.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed. Next week will hopefully mark episode 200 of the show, which is quite insane, which is going to be great because it's going to be a Mexican GP preview of the ultimate episode 200. but yeah, Jamie, thank you as always, and we will be back very, very soon.